Thank you, Joan, for playing that. Joan knows that's my favorite song, so thank you. But I feel like that's what Joshua would say. Great are you, Lord. We've been in this series from the book of Joshua the last 3 weeks. And again, this morning we'll be in the book of Joshua. But I feel like that would be Joshua's testimony. Great are you, Lord. Even in the midst of everything that he saw, everything he was a part of, that he would proclaim, great are you, Lord. So we've been in the book of Joshua these last few weeks, and God has made the way for the Israelites, the people of God, to enter into the land that he promised to them. We've seen that over the last couple of weeks, the way that God opened up the Jordan River and made a way through that impossible situation, and how he partnered with not just Joshua, but the nation of Israel, because they had to hear the word, they had to receive the word, and they had to obey the word that they received. And through their hearing and receiving and trusting and obeying, God made the way for them. But even though they've entered into the promised land, the story doesn't end. Just because they entered into the land that God had promised to them did not mean that trouble was suddenly gone, which for us this morning should remind us, if nothing else, that just because we've received the gift of eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives does not mean that our life will be free and easy without trouble. Now, Joshua and the Israelites would go on to face many more battles. In Joshua chapter 6 through 12, they would battle and battle the Canaanites. Right? They entered into a land that was promised to them, but that land just so happened to be inhabited by other people. And so they had to continue to fight. It's where those words at the beginning of the book of Joshua that God spoke into Joshua's life became so much more relevant and powerful when God told him to be strong and courageous, that he would be with him, that God would give Joshua every place he set his foot. And God did end up fighting for them. If you were to read through chapters 6 through 12, you would see that God would fight with them and for them, that God would lead the way. Chapters 13 through 22, Joshua then spends time dividing up the land. And if you were to read chapters 13 through 22, you might, on the surface, begin to think, well, this is not very exciting. Right? The beginning of the book of Joshua, God does great miracles and fights battles. And we think of the story of the Battle of Jericho. And then chapters 13 through 22, it's almost like, what is this? But if you understand what God is doing, and if you can understand the weight of anticipation from generation after generation that was present in the lives of the Israelites and Joshua as leader, you would understand how profound it was that they had the land, how profound it was that they had finally entered into the inheritance that God had promised them. And now Joshua, in these chapters, is spending time dividing up the land so that everyone received what was promised to them. This is not something that is boring. It's a way for us to see God fulfilling his word. And then we get to the end of the book, chapters 23 and 24. I'd like for us to land in chapter 23 in a moment. In chapter 23, we're going to hear from Joshua. Joshua, at this time, he knows he's getting old. Anybody here this morning know that you're getting old? Yeah, maybe don't raise your... Oh, I had a couple of hands raised. You know, it's funny, it's always the younger people that are like, yeah. And the older people are like, no, I'm not getting old. For what it's worth, Joshua recognizes in chapter 23 that he is getting old. So what is it that this great man of God is going to tell us? What is it that's going to be important for us to know at this point? What is it that Joshua is going to say to us after having followed Moses and trusting God all of these years? You know, some of you here this morning have been following God for a long time. You could look back over the years and begin to tell the stories of God's faithfulness. Many of you have faced a lot of challenges, spiritual battles that you've fought in your life or in your family. Many of you have struggled in prayer. You've seen good days, but perhaps you've also been through the fire. You've seen God move and answer prayer. You've seen God's faithfulness. So for those of you who have been following God a long time, I want to encourage you and remind you this morning that you have a story to share. Joshua is going to tell us his story, but you have a story to share. Whether you've been following God for many, many years or just a few days, you have a story to share. It is your testimony, and it is a story that gives God glory for who he is and for what he has done in your life. Your stories are God's story, and they remind us that God is present and faithful. Right? Think of the world that we're living in now, at least in this nation, and the conversations that people are having. Do you not think that your story is important for people to hear? For people who are questioning everything, all the way down to their sexuality? Do you not think that the story of God entering into your life is powerful? That's important, that it needs to be told. So I want to encourage you in that, to be open to those moments. It's probably going to begin in your own home or with your own family. Those are the people closest to you, but don't stop there. As you have opportunity, speak into the lives of people that are in your sphere of influence. And this morning, if you feel like you don't have anybody, I want you to pray that God would bring people into your life. God has an amazing way of bringing people into your life. Even for shut-ins who are not able to get out, God can bring people into your life, right? Who is it that's delivering your food? Who is it that's coming and checking on you? Who is it that's delivering prescriptions? There are people in all of our lives. And if I don't know anything else this morning, I know that every person needs Jesus in their life. So let's look at Joshua 23. Let's look at the words of this old man this morning. It'll be on the screen for you as well, but I'm going to read through the whole chapter, and we'll dig in. So Joshua chapter 23, beginning in the first verse. After a long time, and that's about 14 years, after a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them. I almost feel like I should stop there for a second. Right, because we can read so quickly. So after a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them. Might the Lord want to say to us who are in the midst of battles, might the Lord want to remind us this morning that he is able to deliver, that he is able to give us rest from our enemies, from our enemy? Because our battle is not flesh and blood. It is the spiritual principalities and powers. It's the enemy, the deceiver, who battles against us. And so be encouraged. Let's continue this morning. So the Lord gave them rest from all their enemies around them. Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am very old. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, but I mean, that's pretty profound. He's going to bring everybody together, and he's going to say, I am very old. Anyways, I'm moving on. Verse 3, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Just in case the people forgot, it was God who conquered all of those nations. Verse 5, the Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Without turning aside to the right or to the left, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast. The old translation would say you are to cleave. You are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, Joshua, knowing his situation, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all these good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land that he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to pray before we dig in. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for the life of Joshua. Lord, a man who was willing to listen to your voice, to trust you, even in the uncertainty, even without knowing what it was all going to look like, he trusted you. So, Father, my prayer this morning is that each one of us would trust you. Whatever it is you want to speak into our lives, that we would listen, that we would receive it, and that we would apply it, that it would become a part of us, that your truth would be a part of us. So, Father, renew our minds this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Joshua recognizes his position. He is old, very old. I don't mean to keep harping on it, but he's a good man. He doesn't seem to regret the fact that he's getting old. It's just his reality. And so he gathers together the leaders of Israel because he wants to continue to pour into them. Right, he knows his time is short, and so he doesn't want it to end. He wants to take the moment to speak into their lives. Even though he is old, he's not going to take credit for his life. Instead, he says, look at what the Lord has done. It was all about God coming through in Joshua's life and for all of the Israelites. God was the one who fought for them. God was the one who won and secured their victories. So Joshua wants to remind them of all of this, right? They've had peace for several years now, but they didn't need to get so comfortable in this moment that they forgot who it was that secured their peace. I mean, can that happen in our lives for you and I, that we become so complacent, just going about our way, that we forget exactly who it was that brought us to this place, exactly who it was that broke off our chains? Can we find ourselves in a place like that? Joshua did not want the Israelites to end up going that route. And so he gathers them together so he can continue to invest in them, continue to pour into them, even though he's of very old age, as he's admitted. So he reminds them and he points away from his own life. I think it's so easy and tempting for so many of us to begin to list our accomplishments. And, you know, that's the thing to do these days. We see it in every sector of society all around us. People who who want to flaunt their accomplishments, and we do it in all kinds of different ways, right? You know, social media, and when we have opportunity, it's maybe not intentional, but it's this look at me kind of moment that we have. Joshua is trying to point everybody back to God and his faithfulness. Joshua, throughout his life, remained confident in the Lord. And so he speaks further truth into this group of leaders, reminding them that they will take possession of the land as the Lord your God promised. It's still not going to be easy, but you will, because God promised it to you. It's going to require our continued faithfulness. It's going to require our commitment to the Lord. So once again, we hear Joshua say, be strong and be careful to obey. Right, if you haven't gotten this over the last few weeks from the Lord, be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you. The Lord will lead you. But here it's be strong and courageous and be careful. Be careful to obey. There are two pieces here. Be strong and be careful. Right? I think we've all seen people who are very strong. The take charge kind of people who know how to get something done. There's nothing wrong if that's your personality. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've seen plenty of people who are very strong, who stand and who press on and move forward, but ultimately they end up falling. Why is that? Well, Joshua is reminding them they have to be strong and be careful to obey. Too often we find ourselves in a position of authority or of strength or of leadership, and arrogance begins to slip into our heart or our life, or pride gets in the way, which ultimately leads to our downfall. If you don't believe me, you can read through Proverbs. Joshua knew that would be the case. They could not rely on their own strength. So be strong. Be careful to obey. This kind of strength comes through humility. It's not through accomplishments. Joshua didn't list the battles that had been fought, that he led. No, he pointed them first to the Lord. He knew his strength came through his surrender, his humility, his willingness to hear from the Lord, his willingness to step in faith and to share that word of the Lord with others. The humble person knows that they need God's leading in their life. So it's not enough to just be strong and courageous. Oh. This is not in the notes, but isn't it true that so often those who appear strong and courageous on the surface are really only like that when they're around other people? It's when they're alone and in those quiet moments that all of the doubt and the questioning and the anxiety begins to pour in into their hearts and lives. So if you're settling and just trying to make it on your own in your own strength, you are really deceiving yourself. Strength comes through humility. So we must be careful to obey, to not turn aside to the right or to the left. As I was reading that this week and reflecting on it, my mind was led to think of someone who is intoxicated. Right? We should be of sobriety, of a sound mind, but someone who is not sober, someone who is intoxicated by alcohol or some other influence, a narcotic in their life, they are not able to walk uprightly. Now, if you were to talk to that person in the midst of their intoxication, they are probably not going to recognize the true status of their condition. Unfortunately, this morning I speak to you as one who's experienced that in my past. We can think that we've got it all together, that we can, you know, you've seen videos of police officers pulling someone over. They think they can walk a straight line, but in reality, they are not walking a straight line because they're under the influence. They've allowed something into their life. That's literal drunkenness. And in that moment, someone who is intoxicated will think that they've got it together. But later on, when they sober up, and if you were to show them a video of how they were acting or how they were moving, they would be alarmed because they had no idea. Friends, is it much different for us? When we are separated from Christ, so often we think we can walk that path. We think we've got it together, like our life is on track. We're living, we're doing good things, we're doing good deeds, and yet it isn't until we sober up and meet Jesus Christ in our life that we recognize how far off we were. We begin to see the influence of sin and the destruction that it leads into our lives. Now that's an extreme case. But let us caution one another this morning because it's not always so obvious. Because the enemy is deceptive and attractive. And so sometimes we allow influences into our heart or into our life. And on the surface, they don't seem to cause any harm. The greatest deception we tell ourselves is, I'm not hurting anyone else. I'm not hurting myself by allowing this into my life. Oh, but if we allow sin to enter in, it begins to take over our whole life. I've not yet met someone who became an alcoholic who intended to become an alcoholic. I've not yet met someone who got caught up in chains of bondage and addiction who wanted to end up there. So it begins very casually and subtly, but it leads to destruction. So what is it in your life? What is it that consumes your mind, your time, your resources? If it's not God, then that thing has become an idol for you. We can clearly see that God is asking for our faithful obedience. We see it here in Joshua chapter 23. We see it throughout Scripture. God is looking for a people that will love Him, that will serve Him, that will follow Him. And He knows that ultimately we cannot do it on our own. Since the fall of man, we cannot do it on our own. And so even in our unfaithfulness to the covenant, He remains faithful and makes the way for us. It makes sense that God would want our faithfulness. If I'm in a relationship with someone, I know that other person wants me to be faithful. They want to be able to trust me. They want to live in connection, relationship with me in such a way that there is no doubt in their mind of my affection. If I am unfaithful in a relationship, I am harming myself and that other person. But it never ends there, does it? It spreads and has an impact on so many more people than we could ever imagine. When I am unfaithful in a relationship, that relationship suffers, and most of the time, without the grace of God and forgiveness and healing and reconciliation, that's going to end. So Joshua reminds them of God's strength. Do you ever think of God's strength? Right, from day to day, do you ever think of God's strength in your life? I feel like in many ways, as we've looked at Joshua, God's strength is like a hidden secret. For so many of us, the fact that God is strong and almighty, the fact that we can trust our lives, our future, everything that we are, we can trust it to a God who is strong and mighty. I don't know about you, but that's attractive. I want that in my life because on my own, I'm weak. So often we try to make it on our own. Joshua reminds him that the Lord was the one who drove out great and mighty nations. To this day, no one has been able to stand against them. No one. And if you were to read through Joshua, you would see that time and time again, God is faithful. And yet there are moments where God's people were unfaithful. Joshua chapter 7, God's people are unfaithful. And as a result, they lose that battle. And God speaks into the situation, the unfaithfulness, and he gives Joshua great wisdom. And as a result, they go throughout the camp looking for the ones who were unfaithful. You see, there were some among them that were unfaithful with the holy things, the devoted things, that did not listen to God's command. So they had to consecrate themselves to be holy once again. Even in those moments of unfaithfulness, God remained faithful to his promise. And Joshua now, old age, after seeing all of this, he only wants to talk about God's goodness, God's promises. And yet there are consequences along the way. Consequences are something that we don't like to talk about much. It begins very young, right, Katie? Our girls don't want to hear anything about consequences. And as followers of Christ, and as the church so often these days, we don't want to talk about consequences. We don't want to mention anything that has to do with judgment. But friends, this morning, judgment does not mean that God does not love us. If anything, I think judgment magnifies God's love for us. Because in our unfaithfulness, the unfaithfulness that should lead to certain death, God is faithful. And he sends Jesus in our place. He makes the way when we could not make the way. If anything, to me, that magnifies God's love for us. But here, the call for the Israelites is the same call for us. It's this call to purity. You see, in Joshua's day, the Israelites were not to intermarry. They were not to engage with other gods, to follow the ways of other nations. Now, certainly, we're not bound by that covenant anymore. There's a new covenant. It's been written in blood, Jesus' blood. Right? There's no restrictions on who you marry other than you should be equally yoked. So Joshua is reminding them of this call to purity. This call to obedience. And in verse 11, the wording changes slightly. See, instead of just being careful to obey what was written in the law of Moses, in verse 11 it shifts, and it's now, be careful to love the Lord your God. This life that we're called to is more than obeying. It's more than following, because if your goal is just to obey and to follow, eventually you're going to fall short. The call is to love. Jesus brings in the new command to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's not enough to just be strong and courageous. It's not enough to just be obedient, to be careful to follow the law, but you must love the Lord your God. If not, if you turn away, if you engage in sin, the Lord will no longer fight for you, is what Joshua told the people. You see, if the Israelites intermarried and got mixed up with other gods, God would allow it to happen. Right? God loves you and I so much that he doesn't force himself into our lives. He doesn't command us to straighten our act up. No, he allows us to choose who we will follow, who we will serve, who is Lord of our life. If we settle for something other than God, God will allow it. It's because he loves us. I love my wife so much that I want her to choose to love me. That's real love. I didn't force her. I didn't coerce her. I had to wait for her to be done with this other guy when I met her. It's a long story. But I hung around and I was present and I was waiting. And I feel like, isn't that the image of the Lord? He is present and he is waiting for you to hear his voice, waiting for you to trust him, waiting for you to surrender your life to him. But in the midst of that, all around us, there are things all around us that could become problems if we're not careful. Joshua calls them deadly snares and traps, whips on our backs and thorns in our eyes, things that can enslave us, that can take over our life. If you've experienced it in your life, we all have. We've all sinned and fallen short. If you've experienced that, you know what that's like, how sin becomes your master, how sin and addiction and those chains of bondage take you much farther than you ever wanted to go, much farther than you ever intended. What we allow to enter into our lives has the potential of separating us from God. Not from his love, but from his presence, from his power in our life. God's promise was that he'd be with Joshua. He does not leave. God does not leave. He loves. His promise is that he would be with them. Maybe you've experienced it in your life. Maybe you can think back, or maybe you're experiencing it right now. Sin in your life, you've allowed it to enter in, and you flirt with it, and you have it on the side, thinking it's okay, something that you don't notice from time to time. But let me tell you, God knows. He notices that. And it's hurting you a lot more than you can imagine. It's keeping you from receiving the love of God and the peace and freedom that only he can bring into your life. So maybe right now in your life, there is something that's taking the place of your worship. Maybe you do feel like you're slipping away, slowly eroding because of something in your life. Let me assure you this morning that God has not moved. We are the ones who have moved away from him. And it's not a new story. It's the story of God's people. And it's why Jesus is so important to us. God changes everything. Joshua is nearing the end of his life, and he's experienced all this, and yet he's focused on God. He wants those who are coming up behind him to be faithful, to trust God in the same ways that he has trusted God. And he knows if Israel is going to inherit the land that they must be obedient to God. They must be devoted to him. So what about us this morning? Are we devoted to him in that way? Does God have your obedience this morning? Is God worthy of all of your devotion? Is God worthy of all of your worship? If not, then what is it that is so much more important? What is it that's so much greater than God in your life? If God is worthy, we must serve him. We must follow him. But we don't do it out of obligation. We don't do it for reward. We don't do it out of a sense of duty. No, we serve God from our heart, out of genuine love. We serve him with glad and sincere hearts. You see, the Israelite story is our story. God is with us this morning, and God has already defeated our enemy today. So let us show our love for him through our faithful obedience. Let's hold fast to the Lord. Let's cleave to the Lord. I want to read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 3. It won't be on your screen. I want to read a few verses towards the end of your Bible. Find the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, then James. Hebrews chapter 3. The writer of Hebrews begins to tell us about Jesus, and he compares him to Moses. See, we've been looking at Joshua. Joshua was the one who followed Moses. And here the writer of Hebrews, he writes these words in Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He, Jesus, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Right? The story of the Israelites and also our story. Do not harden your hearts as you did in your rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. This is why I was angry with that generation. I said their hearts are always going astray to the right or to the left, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Joshua said to hold fast to the Lord. Do not turn away. Trust him. God is faithful, right down to the very smallest details. See, the Israelites had no idea what it was all going to look like, just like you and I have no idea what it's all going to look like for us. But they continued in faithful obedience, allowing God to make that way for them. We must have faith. We must trust God with everything and do what he says. Joshua at this point has seen so much in his life, the miracles of God, the power of God. He has seen great battles against their enemies. And at the end of it all, he only wanted to give God praise. Oh, I pray that all of us would end like that. Knowing that we've been through the fire, faced battles, and yet through all of it, God remained faithful to his promises. With the Lord, no one can stand against you. Do you believe that this morning? With the Lord, no one can come against you. No one can stand against you. The enemy of your souls cannot stand against you. God fights for you. He's already fought for you. The victory is already won. Your inheritance is ready. So be careful to love the Lord your God. We're going to close our service by partaking in the meal of communion. And every time we approach his table and as we share in this meal together, every time we have an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. So before we come forward, we'll pause and pray. But, you know, honestly, where I feel like so many of us end up, you know, in light of Joshua and in light of what Jesus has accomplished and what he did for us out of love, so many of us still end up with this victim mentality. But I don't understand why we would be victims when we serve the victor. Jesus has already won the victory. So if you are facing a battle, if your flesh, if your body is waging war, if you're fighting something, If there's sin in your life, you can't make the way. You can't overcome it. It is a sentence of death. But Jesus has made the way for you. It is through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can have new life. It is through the repentance of sin that forgiveness comes and we are made new. And in that moment, God separates us for all of eternity from our past and from our sins, and we are made new, a new being in His image, in His likeness. And on top of all of that, He fills us with His Holy Spirit. So before we come to His table, let's pause and pray and allow the Lord to search our hearts this morning. He is faithful. He will convict us if there's any area of our lives. Don't run away from it. Allow Him to speak into your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. I thank You for these promises that were spoken to Joshua, received by the Israelites, and we know this morning, Father, that You are always faithful to Your promises. So, Father, this morning, if one of these, my brothers and sisters, is struggling in an area in their life, it's not a reason to be full of shame or guilt. It's an opportunity for us to listen to the voice of the Spirit. As we read in Hebrews 3, today if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, do not harden your hearts, do not turn away from Him, but enter in, receive what He's speaking into your life and surrender it to Him. He is faithful. He is just. And through Him we have life. So Father, we repent of any sin in our lives, Lord. We ask once again that You would fill us with Your Spirit. Allow us this week, Father, to go out and to serve You faithfully. We're so thankful, Father, for the invitation, not just to come to Your table, but the invitation to know You, to be adopted into Your family as sons and daughters, to be co-heirs with Christ. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.